Our scripture reading this morning is taken in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17. We read this morning in connection with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Reading now God's Word in 1 Kings chapter 17. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.' And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank by the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.' So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.' And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, 'What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?' And he said unto her, 'Give me thy son.' And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?' And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again.' And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, thy son liveth.' And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. On the basis of such a passage of Holy Scripture, we consider this morning the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50, page 26, question 125. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, as we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, is intended to be a morning prayer. Jesus is implying in that petition that we begin the day in prayer. Give us this day my daily needs. Now you may pray the Lord's Prayer at any hour and at any time throughout all of your life. But certainly to pray, give me this day, for this day, my daily needs at 11 o'clock at night, is not just being tardy. The Lord is teaching us in this petition that when it comes to our needs, we must bring those to God early in the day and throughout the day. We began our service this morning with Psalm 5, verse 3, My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. We begin, we arise from our bed in the morning, and we look out with our minds into that day, and we see so many things that need to be done. Our mind, once our body becomes a little awake and attuned, our mind begins to speed away. What all that I have to do? How are things going to go? How are things going to go at school, at the job? We begin to think about our burdens and the pressures and the pains that we have and all the things that we need to go do. And the Lord says, now, don't just get in the truck and go. Don't just tackle it. Don't just sit down now and worry, but pray. Pray. Give me, Lord, for this day, daily bread. Give me what I need. Give me what I need for this day. That's certainly a prayer then for grace, for we need His grace above all things, that we are kept on track throughout the day, that we're not knocked off the track, that we're not swallowed up by the world, that we are kept focused upon Him in our thoughts. But that's also a prayer for our physical and for our earthly needs. We are little children. We are on this earth. We're not in heaven. We're on the earth. We have a body. We have responsibilities. And so we are praying for our earthly necessities, not our wants. We are not saying that the Lord is obligated to give to us our wish list, that we bring to Him our fantasies for the day. No, we bring to God our requests for needs as God will determine those needs for us. But we begin, the fourth petition teaches us, begin the day and throughout the day, bring your needs to God in prayer. For this will keep you from worry. This will guard you from lust. This will keep your priorities straight. This will give you strength. Who's responsible today for you? Who's responsible for your needs? Who has assumed the responsibility for you today in your situation and in your circumstances? Who? God has taken that responsibility in Jesus Christ, our Father who art in heaven. So, go to Him. and ask Him for your needs. The fourth petition not only teaches us that this is a morning prayer, or that we bring this to God in the beginning of the day, but the fourth petition also is the petition which shows us that the order of our life is first the spiritual and then the physical. The fourth petition is perfectly placed by the Master. This is now the first petition that actually refers to ourselves. The first three petitions, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, have all centered in God. So we have been taught by Jesus to begin in our prayers with the spiritual as the priority. Now when we come to the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, the Lord is not saying, all right, now you're done with that spiritual stuff, now it's your turn. Now you can begin to think about yourself. No, the Lord is teaching us that if we are indeed to live a life to hallow His name, to have His kingdom rule in my heart today, to faithfully perform His will, if I'm to do that, then I need the things that support my present life. The physical is given in order to perform the spiritual. That's the Christian's life. Our priority, our life is the spiritual, not the physical. So the fourth petition does not close the door to God's glory and kingdom and say, now you can begin to think about your own kingdom. But it says, Lord, I am on earth as thy steward and servant. And if I am to serve thee, and if I am to glorify thee, then I need these physical necessities for my life. I need thee in everything I do. Lord, I'm asking in this petition to equip me so that I might pursue those priorities, the hallowing of thy name, the rule of thy kingdom, and the doing of thy will. The fourth petition finally shows us that prayer, all of prayer, arises out of felt need. We struggle with personal daily prayer and a routine. We attribute the difficulty of getting into that to the busyness of life. My life is very busy, we say. Or we attribute it to, I don't have that discipline that I need. Now, both of those considerations are true in themselves. But that's not really why. The fourth petition is saying prayer arises when you know your need. When you and I know that we are utterly dependent upon God for everything, then prayer will arise. We don't pray because we think we're in control, that we really don't need. Well, hallowing of God's name and doing His will and all of that, we certainly feel a need for that. But when it comes to the earthly things, we really don't need God, we think. But that's not so. Jesus is teaching us that we are dependent in America this morning with our wealth, with all that God has given, with the cupboard full of cereals. 4 or 5 choices of cereal this morning. And bread and 3 types of jam. God is saying to us, we are utterly dependent. We need to know that so that we pray. Consider with me then this morning, bread for today, our request, our reasons, and our response. The fourth petition is very simple. It's very basic. We could come to a kindergarten class with this one. Give us this day our daily bread. Simple, earthy words. Nothing highfalutin here. Very simple. Give me bread for today. And yet these words, let's look at these words now, the key words, are at the same time very profound. We begin with the word give. And that word give can be taken in two obvious ways. One can be a demand. We're used to the word in America today to use the word give when it comes to earthly things and bread. We're used to using that word in the sense of demand. I have a right. Give it. Give it here, we say. Give that to me. I have a right for that. I have a right for that, especially if somebody has more of it than I do. Then I have the right for that. Give it. But the child of God does not pray that way, does not think that way. We do not have the right for earthly things. The inherent right. We don't have the inherent right for the shirt on my back. It's not mine. I pray, Lord, give it. The word give, then, is in the sense of bestow it upon me. Give it to me graciously. It's not a demand, but I'm humbling myself before God as the Great One, as my Creator and Redeemer. And I'm asking Him, Lord, bestow upon me what I need for today. Give it to me graciously. So that I come to God in the prayer, that in the acknowledgement that everything is His. In the freezer and in the cupboard, it's not ours, it's His. And not only everything in that freezer and cupboard that we have is His, and in the bank and everything else, but the ability for it to do me good is also His. To digest the food, the work of the pancreas, the work of the stomach, and of the intestines, and of the digestion, and of the bloodstream, that miracle of our human body, that's His work too. And then before it gets into the pantry, and before it gets into the freezer, that's His work too. To get a job and to hold a job and the muscles in the back and the discs, to hold those discs in line so that I can work, and the economy and the buying and the selling and the IRA and the stocks and the home and the car and the clothes, that's all His too. And the baby who receives the bottle and has a diaper, and the widow with the Social Security check and the apartment, and the father of four or five children and young people and the demand and college. God gives that. God gives. We acknowledge He gives it. And we acknowledge this is a miracle. The child of God sees in the word give a miracle. That was what Elijah, the prophet, a prophet, needed to learn. 1 Kings 17, verse 1, the mighty work of Elijah, the man of God, to stand before a wicked king and tell him, there will not be any rain except by my word. And then to walk out of his palace. And then that mighty prophet needing to go to school to learn a miracle that God will give him. God will give to him what he needs. And the miracle that we read there was not the ravens, and it was not the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, but the miracle was that God would supply his needs perfectly as God determined them. There was the miracle. God wants us to see that when he gives us food, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Now think with me this morning, children, and all of us, about Elijah as he's at the brook. And now let's put it in today's terms, your toast this morning, or your cereal. And imagine that for the last 5 years, God has sent you your morning toast through a raven. And at 6:45, this raven is outside your sliding glass door where you have your kitchen table. And he's pecking away, and you open the sliding glass door, and he hops up onto the table and puts the toast on your plate, and he hops and he flies off. And this has been happening for 5 years, every morning. And now you say, Reverend Hawk, come over for breakfast this morning. And I'm sitting at the table, and suddenly this raven shows up and does this, and my jaw drops. And you say, it happens all the time. What's so amazing about that? And you say, that's a miracle. Yeah, but he only brings wheat bread. I'd like to have sourdough, you say. After 5 years, I'm getting a little tired of just wheat bread. The point is, beloved, the miracle is that God brings us our food. Do we see that? Does God need to make a bird bring me my toast to teach me that it is God who brings me my food? Because God does it, and He keeps doing it the same way, I forget to see God in this. And Elijah was just like me. Because after 9 months at that brook, it dried up, and the Lord says, you're getting too used to this. I need to teach you again. So I'm going to change things. I'm going to make it different. I'm going to make it hard for you in your job. Now, Elijah, during the famine has started now for 9 months. During the famine, I'm going to give you your daily bread. Go to a widow who's on the brink of starvation. She'll feed you. To get the point that the miracle is God gives us our food. He does that. Then the word us, give us, and us is referring to not just me, and so is teaching us that we are not to pray for earthly things individually. We are not to pray, I got mine, too bad about them. We are not to be the rich fool who says, I have laid up in store many things for me. But when we pray with respect to earthly things and necessities, we are to think of others. Give us this day our daily food. The plural pronouns. We are to think of our fellow members of the body of Jesus Christ. We are to think of others as God gives us opportunity. We are to do good unto all men, especially, Galatians 6:10, especially they of the household of faith. So helping hands in our congregation is a beautiful expression of the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us. We help one another in our needs. And the work of the deacons is the beautiful expression of the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. We are one body in Jesus Christ. God has sent forth the servants of His deacons so that we, not just some of us, all of us receive from God what we have. It's not that some of us don't need it and others do. We all need God. And now God, through the abundance of many, supplies the needs of those who are at this time in a need. God's answering our prayers through the diaconate. He answers our prayer through an employer. He answers our prayer by giving us a job. He answers our prayer perhaps by blessing our business so that we can employ others and they might receive their earthly needs from God. We are praying, Our Father, bless us, give us our daily bread. And then the third thing that we notice is that word daily, and the Lord is emphasizing this, give us this day our daily bread. So obviously He's drawing attention to this aspect, and the Lord wants us to remember two things. The first is that He's underscoring the amount. Give to me what I need this day. Give me my need this day. That need varies from circumstance to circumstance that God controls in my life. Certainly the need of a single man is different from a married man with children. The need of a widow is different from the need of a family of six. The difference that we have when we are healthy and strong is different from when I am sick and I'm on back. The aged, my daily bread may mean today a puree diet. For others, it might be a special diet, gluten-free. I need that. A baby needs milk. Another person might say, I can't have this in my diet. Lord, my need, and then give me to trust a day at a time. Daily bread. Now, of course, that does not mean that we may not be industrious, that we may not work with foresight as God's servants and stewards and lay up in store. Of course, that's scriptural. We are to do that. But the Lord says we are to trust Him not only for grace today, but we are to trust Him also for my physical needs today. And so the Lord emphasized this to Israel by giving them manna each day. And He told them, if you store that up, it will rot. You need to take what you need today. And trust me that tomorrow I will give you what you need. And so God also spoke to Elijah and the widow. What a woman of faith, as we read that scripture. Here comes the prophet, and what does she have? She's out finding firewood for her last supper, her last meal. She's probably quite famished to begin with, and her little boy is quite famished, and this is it. She has just enough to make one more cake for her and her son, and then that's it. She doesn't know where the next thing is coming, and the prophet says, give it to me. And God says, after I have eaten, you will go back and you will find enough for you. Trust. Trust. And the Lord fulfilled His word. Trust. Trust. God will give you today what you need. And then the word bread. And we've been emphasizing this morning that bread is obviously the necessities of human life. And bread in Scripture is the staple, the basic staple of human food. Bread represents the necessities of human food. And so that bread may be rice, it may be tacos, it may be bread that we're used to, but we're asking for here the basic food that we need for earthly life. We're not asking again for our fantasies and wishes. We're not asking for bread and butter, bread and honey, bread and deer sausage, but we're asking for bread and shelter and clothing and warmth and transportation. The Catechism says, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for our body today, the things that are necessary. And provide me so that I may be able to meet my obligations, that I may receive what is necessary from Thy hand. That's what we're praying. And the reasons for this, what are the reasons behind this petition? Well, there are at least three reasons behind this petition. The first is, this petition is teaching us that God saves our bodies and loves our bodies, the earthly life, as well as He loves our soul. We're praying to God for bread, for the support of our physical earthly life. And that is teaching us that God's love is seen not only that He has saved our souls, but that He also has a care for our bodies. And we need to get this. We need to get this Christian truth, this Reformed truth, because I'm not sure that I and you as well are always getting this. I think that we sometimes conceive of the earthly life like pagans. We don't have the biblical view of the body, that we begin to think that the body is, after all, just a shell for the soul. That's all it is. Or the body, the world says, is just the avenue through which one may experience their lusts and their pleasures. And that's all that the body is. And the body decays and it's gone. And God saves our soul. And the body, after all, doesn't amount to anything. But this is unbiblical. This is contrary to the mind of the Heavenly Father. We have begun in our catechism with the confession that our comfort is that I with body and soul am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. My body belongs to the Lord through that precious blood of Calvary. Therefore, God loves the body that He has given to us. And He is committed to care for it as long as that's necessary in this life. And then He is committed one day to raise it from the dead and reunite my soul to it. And He's going to do all of this through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind this petition is the acknowledgement that God loves and has redeemed our bodies. Give me my daily bread. Even though my present body is under the curse, multiple cirrhosis, ruptured disc, crippling arthritis, multiple myeloma, Chiari, or we look at this body that God has given to us and we say, nose is too big, too short, too fat, too skinny. I'm a plain Jane. The body that God has given, the special needs child, the most athletic, is given of God. And is dear to the Heavenly Father. Do you not know that it is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? It is God's handiwork, and God cares for it, and God is going to take care of it and give it what it needs till the end, till the moment of deliverance. And therefore, we take care of it. It is not there to abuse. It is not there to be drunken. It is not there to be addicted, that we addict. The addictions are when we sign over our body to the service of the devil. We indenture our body to serve him under his harsh conditions. That's addiction. No. We pray to God for our bodies. Preserve me pure and holy also in my body, in my life, in my body, and now feed my body and give that which is necessary for the body, because thou dost love the body that thou hast made. And therefore, this petition teaches us the exalted nature the exalted love of God for our human body, how we ought to view our body, and certainly this petition that tells us that our earthly life is not mundane to God, that God's not really interested in those things. He's interested only in your soul. That God's not interested in what's going to be on my plate at noon. He's only interested in my spiritual life. He is interested in my spiritual life, in the true doctrine being fed to me. But He is also the God who loves the body and will care for it. The second reason we pray this petition is because God alone can give the daily bread and the daily food, and God alone distributes those things and all of the wealth. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for He hath founded it upon the seas. Throughout the Scriptures we read that God is the Creator, and as the Creator He therefore is the owner, and you will find no verse in the Bible in which God has ever signed over the deed of one earthly thing to man. God owns everything as the Creator. He sells and gives over nothing. It is His. He distributes it through stewardship. So yes, we believe in the right of private property, but that is only the right to exercise stewardship over the things that God has entrusted to you. It is not yours. It is not mine. It is under His control. All of it is His. We own none. We are called to be stewards of some of the portion that God has given to us. So we go to the grocery store. We have our little children with us. We don't grow up here on farms. We put in a loaf of bread. We get some pastries. We get some vegetables. We go to the dairy section. We get some ice cream. We check out. We pull out the debit card or the credit card, and we're thinking, do my children really know where food comes from? Do they know about the wheat field? Do they know about dairy cows? We shake our heads and we say, kids don't know today where food comes from. Really? Only kids have that problem? Do we know? Do we know where food comes from? It comes from God. Every bite. Every bite. Psalm 104, these all wait upon Thee. Talking about the animals in the jungle. These all wait upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That Thou givest, they gather. Thou openest Thy hand, and they are filled with good. We attribute that marvelously to the sparrows and to the creatures that we see. But God says, that's the same thing with you. I open my hand, and you receive. Haggai 2, verse 8, the silver and the gold is mine. Hosea 2, verse 8, for she, that is Israel, did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they have prepared for Baal. Israel took what God gave and served Baal with it instead of God. It's God's. We are to serve Him with it all. Because it is God's, God may also apportion it, or what we say, withhold. The fourth petition is working on our humility and dependence, which is good to know that. But it is our nature to believe that we are in control. And that affects, as I said, that affects our prayer life when we think that way. We don't ask God because we think we really don't have need for that. I have three cords of wood. We're not going into winter now. I have three cords of wood and candles and rice in PCV pipes in my basement and guns, and so I'm ready. Whatever happens to the economy, I'm good. And then the Lord sends cancer into our pancreas. And we can't eat it. And we don't have strength to light the candle. Or we give it to our little child and they get a fever and they throw it up. And they begin to dehydrate. We have the food. We're in control. We're not in control. Or the market plunges. Or property values dive. Or we lose everything. We can do nothing. God provides all things. We are to be that diligent and faithful steward, trusting in our Heavenly Father to bless and to give me what I need. But all things are owned by God and distributed by God. That's why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And finally, we pray this petition because we confess everything depends upon His blessing. Perhaps the most arresting part of that Lord's Day that catches attention are the words, that neither our care or industry nor thy gifts can profit me without thy blessing. We're praying this petition that God will bless the bread that He gives to me. And the Catechism is making an important biblical distinction between the earthly things and the blessing. The earthly thing is not the blessing. The blessing is something that God adds to the earthly thing. They are not to be confused. We don't go to our living room with a guest and they see what we have in the car and we say, my blessings. They may be blessings, but the blessing is not the thing, but the blessing is something God adds to the thing, that He gives it to us in His favor, that we receive those gifts as God's favor to us, and that we use those gifts in the manner in which God intends us to use them. Otherwise, we, through our care and through our industry, as the Catechism says, and through the gifts He gives them to us, we begin to use those earthly things if we don't use them for God, and if we don't ask for God's blessing to be upon it, they are of no profit to us. Worse than no profit to us, they become a curse to us. If from morning to night we pursue the things of this life and God gives them to us from the hand of God, and we get more and more and more, everything we have ever wanted, everything that we begin to believe we are entitled to. We are, after all, entitled to these things. And we do not acknowledge God. And we set our heart upon those things, then those things become a snare. Then the Bible says it would have been better had we not had them than if we get heady, if we get proud, if we begin to think that we are something because of those things. We ask God blessing to attend what He gives, that we might use what He gives in the service of His name. Everything. Because without that, it will hurt you. The things that God gives will hurt you if you don't know how to use them for His glory and honor. And so we will respond to God, and we will respond to God this morning with thanksgiving. We will say that, as the Catechism leads us in our thanksgiving, that Thou art the only fountain of all good. The word thanksgiving in the Scriptures is the figurative word of a person. Thanksgiving in the Bible is the picture of a person who opens his hands and begins to point to everything around him in his house. And then he takes his hands, figuratively, to gather them all together, and he lifts up his hands to God. That's thanksgiving in the Bible. Point to everything, gather them all up, lift them up to God. It's all from God. And to do that, we need to know not only our dependence upon God, that God must give them, but then the heart of thanksgiving is to acknowledge that I'm not worthy of them. I don't have them because of me. God gave them to me. Everything is a gift. Everything is grace. To the child of God, everything is grace, because God is giving this to me in His love. And so we pray. We pray before we eat, because we acknowledge that we are dependent and we are thankful to God for all things that He has given to us. We pray in a restaurant. We pray in a college cafeteria. We pray as Daniel's and his three friends prayed in Nebuchadnezzar's school. We fold our hands then, if in public, and we regularly do this at our meal table. We fold our hands together as a family and we pray out loud. And we give thanks to what God has given to us. When you feed your pet, your dog and your cat, you put the bowl out, they dig in. But not your child. You would not let your child do that. You say to your child, please, thank you, right? That's you as a human person giving to your child. You say, no, no, you don't just dig into that. If I give you something, you say, thank you, thank you. So we, as God's little children, pray when we eat. Before we eat and after we eat, we pray. Because Father gave this to me. And we withdraw, says the Catechism, our trust from all creatures, and we place it alone in Thee. We trust in God. We don't trust in our own industry. Yes, we try to be the best stewards we can be. We do not trust in the institutions of men. We do not trust in the legislation of our country. We do not trust in the American dream. We do not trust in who is in the White House or who is in the Congress. We do not trust when the interest rate is at a certain level, or the job index is at a certain level, or the stock market is doing in a different way, or the government finally has figured out its policies and is doing things right. We trust alone in God, that God will not withhold my daily needs. God says, prove me, prove me, put me to the test, put me to the test. I will give you your daily needs as long as you need them according to my will. As long as I have work for you on earth, I will give you your daily needs. Trust God and be content. Be content. Perhaps that's the hardest part. Because it doesn't make any difference if we're rich or poor when it comes to contentment. It doesn't. You can have a 30-foot boat and you want a 60-foot boat. We can have a $100,000 home and we want a $400,000 home. We can have a Chrysler. We want a Honda. We want a Lexus. We want what that guy has. It does not matter what we have. By nature, we always want something else. Better. More. Contentment is not determined by what we have. When I get this, Lord, I'll begin to give. I can't give now because, well, I can't. When I get this, Lord, I'll be satisfied. I'm not now because I don't have this. No. God says no, no to all of that. Contentment does not depend on things. Covetousness depends on things. Covetousness burns like a fire to consume us. Contentment is a warmth in our hearts to give us warm. I'm content in my Father's care today. I'm content in my Father's way through Jesus Christ, through the one who shed his blood for me. I'm content with what he gave me. My body, my house, my family, my looks, my marriage. It came from God. Let's get that straight. It came from God. And I say thanks. Thanks, Father, that I receive all things with thy blessing upon me and with the promise that thou wilt use all things for good to those that trust thee. And so we pray, give me this day my daily bread. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee that thy word is so earthy and that the Savior is teaching us in such simple terms, such profound spiritual truths. Now do more than word can do, but by the Holy Spirit, bless the truth and bring us to the throne of grace to pray. Bring us to realize that we are dependent, utterly dependent and unworthy, and that thou art the fountain of all good. In Jesus' name, amen.